Hey, Songtown, I'm Clay Mills here with Marty Dotson. Today, we've got 12 ways to avoid burning bridges when you're pitching your songs. Now, if you're not interested in pitching your songs to artists and publishers and producers, then skip, go to one of our other videos.
That's right. We got lots.
But this is for those of you that have asked specifically for this, and we appreciate you watching. Awesome. Kick it off.
All right. One is pitching songs that are not ready. You know, when you pitch a song, that's not the time to seek feedback.
Right.
Because the only feedback you're going to get is yes or no or no response. You know, they're not there to give you feedback on if this song works yet. You know, so you need to make sure the song is ready before you pitch it. And so, like, when I pitch a song and I get feedback from Keith Urban, let's say, that says, great song, mate. Not quite what I need at this moment. I go, okay, I was in the ballpark. You know,
You didn't burn your bridge.
I didn't burn the bridge, you know, and he'll say, send me something later when you get it. But when I start getting silence or, you know, lots of passes, I go, okay, maybe let me back up and get a little more feedback and make sure the song is ready that I'm pitching.
Perfect.
What's number two?
Number two is pitching the wrong song to the wrong artist.
Been there.
You just said Keith Urban. You don't want to pitch him the wrong song.
Right.
So I think we have this thought that we write a song and anyone can cut it and anyone can record it and it's just an amazing song. But I think a lot of times we'll, you know, find out that perhaps your song says, I love you in it. And there's a particular artist you're pitching to that has never recorded a song that says, I love you, because that's not their who they are.
Right.
They're not going to say that in their song. So it doesn't fit their brand or their artist thing that they're trying to do. So it's helpful to know and do a little research on artists before you just coldly pitch them a song. You know?
Exactly. And one mistake I see in this area is people will take a song that's an artist did 15 years ago,
right?
And they'll go, all I know about this artist is that they sang this R&B flavored song 15 years ago. So I'm going to pitch them all my R&B songs. And they may not have done another song since then. You know?
This happens a lot. Musically, it sounds like that artist. This would be perfect for Carrie Underwood. This is, you know, exactly the kind of music that she does. Yeah, but the lyric is not anything. Your lyric has a weak female in there. She's not going to sing that.
Right.
So we have to be conscious of the entire song.
Yeah.
Number three
is ignoring the artist's current season of life. And so a great example of this was Blake Shelton and Miranda Lambert were getting a divorce. And so lots of people were pitching them breakup songs.
Yeah.
They're going, well, oh, obviously, they're going through a breakup. Well, they didn't want to disrespect each other publicly. So they're not going to sing about, you know, well, you cheated or you, you know, blaming the other person. Right. So even though they were going through that, doesn't mean they want to sing about that. So you have to think about, you know, yeah, if someone, let's say, just had a baby, maybe they want to sing about being a first-time mother or father,
right.
You know, but you have to think through, like, you can't just go, oh, they're going through this, so this song would work. You go, well, do they want to sing about that right now?
You know? In fact, I had an artist that I kept pitching a song to, and the feedback was, well, they just went through a breakup, and they don't want to do that kind of song. Then the next album, then they were more receptive to it because they were past that,
right.
You know? And so then I ended up getting a cut because they were over that stage of their life. Yeah. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Timing is everything.
All right, Clay, what's number four?
Number four is pitching too many songs at once.
Ouch.
And I see this a lot. A publisher will say, hey, send me your best three songs. And you're all excited because you finally opened this door and the publisher wants to hear your song. So you send them a link with 25 of your songs when they ask for three.
Yeah.
And so part of it, I think, is when somebody asks you, say, hey, send me three songs, they want you to do the work of figuring out what your best three songs are.
Right.
They don't want to have to go through your whole catalog and say, okay, are there three good songs here?
Right.
So I think part of it is learning our responsibility as writers in order to be able to pitch them the three songs.
I mean, if they ask you to send them your best three songs, don't send them four.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just respect what they've asked you. And you have to think about the time commitment you're asking. So if I send somebody 20 songs, that's going to take them an hour.
Yeah.
And they're not going to do that for anybody.
Right. And even if you send them four when they ask for three, part of what they're trying to figure out is, can I work with this person? Mm-hmm. And if you're not hearing what they're asking for and you're sending them more, you're just going to burn a bridge usually.
Yeah. Yeah. Number five is weak or outdated demos. Sometimes people will pitch me and you a song as publishers because we have a publishing company. And I go, I can't even understand what they're saying. You know, I mean, right. It's like a bad recording.
Right.
And it's hard to even understand it. And then other times, you know, I'll hear songs people are pitching and I go, wow, that sounds like the 70s called and wanted their demo back.
Yeah.
You know,
somebody wrote me the other day and was complaining that, well, the publisher said my demo sounded dated. But I hear like 80s throwback songs all the time on the radio right now. It's like, yeah, but they're produced to sound like today with an 80s flavor.
Right.
They don't sound like the demo was produced in the 80s.
Exactly.
So you just have to learn that little subtle thing. I almost feel like if you can't afford to do, you know, full-blown master demos, that's okay. Just a great guitar vocal or piano vocal of a killer song still gets people cuts. Yeah. You know, you don't have to have this fancy demo, you know.
What you got for number six?
Making it about you. Instead of the song.
About me?
So I see this a lot where somebody is playing a publisher or playing a producer or playing an A&R person a song. Instead of just letting the song speak for itself, they start talking about, well, I'm writing with this writer and I'm doing this. And they're trying to put the focus on them, which is you want to be able to sell yourself. But when somebody is ready to hear a song, it's like, let the song do the talking.
So you're saying don't make it as much about you as it is about the song.
Yeah, I just said that. What you got for the next one, Marty?
All right. The next one is over-explaining. You know, I've had people sit with me and play me songs, and every song's got to have a five-minute intro of like, oh, I wrote this about this. This had gone on in my life, and I'm going, if I can't get that from the song,
right,
we're not working here, you know? So you don't need to over-explain anything. You know, you don't need to over-explain, you know, to your last point, you know, I won this song contest and I'm working with all these people and building yourself up. If you play them a great song, that's going to accomplish everything you need to accomplish there.
Yeah.
What you got for number eight?
Playing songs that are not emotionally fresh.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we all hear songs where you go, that's about the same old thing in the same old way.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I've heard love talked about in that way 5,000 times, or I've heard loneliness talked about in that way 5,000 times. So you're not taking a fresh angle on that emotion that, you know, that you're trying to convey in the song.
Right. So for a while, people were going, don't pitch any songs in country music that has the word truck in it.
Yeah.
And then the song comes out that was called I Drive Your Truck.
Yeah.
It was a brilliantly written song.
Yeah.
It wasn't like your typical truck song. This was about someone who passed away, their brother passed away, and they drive the truck, and it reminds them of their brother.
Yeah.
And so it really had a deeper meaning than just the truck. So I like that emotional aspect. You can take a subject that's been done to death, a truck, but then turn it into something that's emotionally, like, hasn't been done.
Yeah.
And then it's a brilliant song. So what you got for number nine?
Pitching songs that are good, but they're not cuttable. You know, I've had songs in my career that were good or even great songs, but no one wants to get up on stage and sing that every night. We can sometimes mistake, well, I got great feedback from this in the Songtown Pro Feedback Forum. Well, it may be perfectly written, but that doesn't mean it's cuttable. So we have to think about, is this something somebody wants to get up on stage and sing about every night? So an example would be a song about cheating on your partner. You might have written it to the wall, but does someone get up on stage every night and sing about cheating on their partner?
Right.
Probably not.
Yeah.
You know? What you got for number 10?
Well, before we do that, I just want to tell everybody that if you're wondering about, well, these are all great tips, but how do I pitch songs to artists? How do I pitch songs to publishers? We have Songtown Edge Groups. You can Google this. And our Edge Groups put you working with different publishers throughout the year, and you can target right for these artists. If you write a great song, you can pitch it.
We also have a video series called Pitch Perfect that goes through a lot of the finer points of pitching your songs and how to do it good.
Excellent. So number 10 would be no artist moment. And I witnessed this firsthand. I wrote a song for Clay Walker, and there was a point in the song where at the end of the bridge where he hits this note and holds it, and then the band comes back in, but they just stop and they just hesitate. They don't come back in, and the crowd's going wild, and then they come back in. That song was written in a way that allowed them to have this moment live on stage that they can milk for all it's worth. So there are things you can do when you're writing songs, and we can probably talk about that in a whole episode sometime, of how you create these moments in your songs.
Absolutely. Number 11, and I see this all the time, too much aggression in your follow-up. So like, you know, I've seen people, like they pitched a song, they got an opportunity to pitch.
I sent this to you yesterday. Why haven't you gotten back to
me? Or they get an opportunity to pitch a song to a big artist or a big producer, and they're like furious. It's been a week and they haven't responded to me. Well, it's because they got 1,000 songs this week.
Yeah.
You know, and they may or may not respond at all.
Yeah.
You know, and so.
But if they like it, you're going to hear about it.
You will hear about
it. If they want to get this song to an artist and they think that they got something there, you'll hear about it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So no word is usually means, you know, they're busy. Are they're just not into the song.
Right.
But if they are into the song, they're going to get back to you.
Yeah. And so you don't want to bug people. And that's, I mean, I can smell the bridge burning lots of times when I hear people talk about this. You know, it's like, well, I emailed him 10 times. Like, yeah, if you email me 10 times, I'll probably block your email, you know, that kind of thing. So just chill out, you know, and appreciate that you got the opportunity, and the next time you have something great to pitch to that person, pitch it again, and just wait on that response of like, hey, I love this, or this not quite right, you know, that kind of thing. But don't be aggressive in your follow-up.
Yeah, which kind of leads perfectly to and bleeds over a little bit to our final point about getting defensive when you are rejected.
Yeah.
You know, and I've seen people where a publisher didn't like a song and they instantly get angry, though they don't know what they're talking about, you know, and after 4 or 5 people give them the same feedback, then they're still like, well, this town just doesn't get my songs. I'm out of here. Or, you know, they're just because it's hard. You open yourself up and you have to come as a professional. We had to get used to the idea that maybe every song you write is not going to change the world, you know? Yeah. And maybe that publisher has a point. You have to get the feedback and try not to get defensive and go, okay, are they saying something that makes sense here? You know, is my gut telling me they're right and that's why I'm defensive? You know, you got to be able to sort through those feelings.
And that doesn't mean they're always right.
No.
But you don't want to argue with them. And so I had a publisher one time just trash my song that I had just written. And I got that song cut by a major artist in 2 weeks. Yeah. But when I'm sitting with that publisher and he's giving me that feedback, I'm not going, well, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to show you. I just quietly went about my business and got the song cut.
Yeah.
And that gave him, that said everything I needed to say to him, because he was like, oh, that's the song I trashed, wasn't it? You know? And so just in the moment, remember that you don't need to be defensive, because you might not get an opportunity with that person if you do that, you know? So take the feedback, go off into your quiet place and decide if it's good feedback or it's not good feedback. But don't burn a bridge by arguing with a person. Just that defensive response can really hurt you. So dial that back.
Okay, Songtown, you heard it first from Marty. Don't get defensive. See you next time.
Take care.
Hey, thanks for watching. If you appreciate the content, hit the subscribe button and help us grow. Shout out to Sweetwater Music. It's where Marty and I get all our musical gear. Great people. We'll see you guys around town. Right on.